Asia.
Banyan. The Rorschach Nation. Singapore's foreign admirers see only the stuff they like.
A century ago, a Swiss psychoanalyst called Hermann Rorschach pioneered a diagnostic test that would eventually become famous worldwide. Patients were shown a series of ink-blot patterns on cards and asked to describe what they saw. The result was thought to reveal much about their state of mind. For fans of foreign affairs and students of public policy, here is another kind of Rorschach test. Ask them about Singapore and see what they say. The tiny nation's undoubted success is analysed endlessly, but the lessons drawn from it tend to reveal more about the viewer than they do about the city-state. Observers from wildly different countries all agree that there is much to like in a country notable for its sparkling infrastructure, low crime, high social cohesion, and sky-high GDP of $88,000 per person. Liz Truss, a former and disastrous British Prime Minister, has argued that her country should have become Singapore on steroids after leaving the European Union. By that, she had in mind an economic model of very low taxes and ultra-light regulation. The respective presidents of Rwanda and El Salvador, Paul Kagame and Nayib Bukele, the one a stern authoritarian and the other a Trump-style populist, disdainful of democratic checks on power, handily see proof in illiberal Singapore that Western-style democracy is not required to reach first-world prosperity. Singapore is an easy place on which to project desires and even fantasies. An independent country since 1965, it has grown rich in a single lifetime. The universal use of English makes it superficially easy to engage with. Like a business school case study, foreigners get the impression that they can take a pick-and-mix approach to Singapore's practices and innovations, a view they would not extend to nations with older histories and institutions. Yet the individual preoccupations of the country's international fans clash with Singapore's more complex realities. For leaders in the developing world who love Singapore's tough-on-crime approach, its clean courts and low corruption are often far less of a priority. Those such as Ms. Truss, who fantasize about the city's light regulation, ignore its active industrial policies, with much government support in chosen sectors. Small state fans rarely mention the city's successful system of mass public housing, crucial to understanding why Singapore's population has remained content to host an international financial hub, even as property prices have shot up. Selective blindness prevails. In truth, Singapore's odd hybrid political system defies categorization. It is pointedly not a liberal democracy. This newspaper's sister organisation, the Economist Intelligence Unit, places Singapore above Bangladesh but below Indonesia in a league table that ranks countries according to the strength of their democracies. Yet it sits alongside much freer places in corruption rankings maintained by Transparency International, an NGO. Though its global fans come largely from the political right, Singapore's housing policies have a socialist tinge. Joseph Stiglitz, a left-leaning economist and Nobel laureate, has said nice things about its low inequality. Meanwhile, its commitment to policing speech which might offend racial or religious sensibilities goes beyond what even the wokest Westerners might advocate. For overseas admirers who use Singapore as a rhetorical cudgel, digging too deep into the government's actual methods only ruins the effect. It is hard to imagine that foreign leaders and bureaucrats will ever cease travelling to the city in search of lessons. Among them once, a Fuzhou City Communist Party secretary called Xi Jinping. But how many of the country's policies can other nations really borrow? Some Singaporean policymakers say that even Singapore would struggle today to replicate its earliest successes, achieved when strong-arm rulers simply laid down what must be done. Today, despite the sanitized policies, many voices contend over key policies. In the future, popular visions of Singapore might only grow more detached from facts on the ground. Lawrence Wong, the country's new prime minister, has acknowledged new pressures from ordinary Singaporeans, such as a desire for less immigration and more welfare. He says that the government is ready to re-examine all of its assumptions and advocates a softer, more consultative form of leadership. Students of Singapore could soon find that the inkblot itself begins to change shape.